Well, today we're continuing with our series on vision and values, and we're going to be looking at the value of servanthood. So as a way of introduction, I wanted to, for a moment, as to why God created us. In other words, what is life for? Is it that we were born to consume, to eat and breathe, to take up space? I believe that God designed each of us to make a difference with our lives. You know, if you go into a bookshop, you will find a plethora of books on self-help about how to make your life better, how to live a healthier life, how to lose weight, how to have a clear mind, how to look good, how to make money, how to live a prosperous life. And so there are reams and reams and reams of these books if you go down to whatever bookstore you like to choose. But I believe that it's not the reason that God made you or me. I think we were, well, I know we were created to add life, not just to take it or consume it. God desires for us to give something back, to bring something of His love back into the world through us. And the Bible tells us that God has a plan for our lives. That classic text from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Well, isn't that amazing? That God has His eye on you and me because there is a positive future for each of us. The Bible goes on to tell us in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Now you might be thinking, well, that's an echo of one of the Psalms that David wrote. Well, you would be right. Can anybody tell me what psalm that would be? 139, thank you, John. Psalm 139, I'm just going to turn to it now. That sense that God knew us. David goes to say that he knows when we sit and when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He is familiar with all our ways. He knows a word before it's on our tongue. In other words, He knows all about us. Nothing is hidden from God. Even when we were just a glimmer of a thought in our parents' minds, He knew us then. He knew when we were being knitted together. He knew that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows, and He knows the number of the days that are ordained for our lives. He knows the choices that we will make because He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the book of Ephesians 2, it says, "For we are God's handiwork." We are God's handiwork. I don't know, there's Charlie. When I think of handiwork, I don't know why, but I think of Charlie being a carpenter. Carving and creating and forming. That doesn't mean to say those who are very good with needlecraft or whatever creative skills, Janet, with card making. We are God's handiwork. God made you and me. Isn't that amazing? God made you and me. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God's created us to do those things that is deep-seated within us. In Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, it says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is Lord Christ you are serving." That's a really big mindset to grasp, isn't it? So Tim, when you're leading work, you might be employed by your boss, but at the end of the day, we're not working for man, we're working for God. Doesn't that somehow bring a liberation to us, for those that are you of past working age? But that sense that actually you're working in a different way. I mean, people tell me that retirement, you're even busier than you were when you were working. Lots of nods going on around the room. And that sense that God still has a plan and a purpose for each of us, no matter age or ability. Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He says this: "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." He also wrote these words in Romans 12, which Jean referred to at the beginning from verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul talks about the analogy of the body in Romans 12. And that if one part is hurting, then the body is unable to function. Now, I cut my inside of my finger the other day with a very fine paper cut. This one here. I forgot which finger it was on then. And I just keep catching it. You know, it's like a little niggle. Have you ever had paper cuts? Catch your fingers on things. They're a little sore, aren't they? It's a bit red this morning, but it's not as bad as it was. But that sense that you know it's there. However small the cut, however inconvenient the pain might be or the discomfort might be, you know that it's there. And Paul goes on to say that when one part of our body stops working, then we can become ill and suffer because of that. Just imagine for a moment, would you, that if your liver decided to start living on its own, perhaps it would say, "I'm tired. I don't want to serve the body anymore. I just want to take a year off and be fed. I've got to do what's best for me. Or let someone else take my part." Well, what would happen? We're no liver, we'd die, wouldn't we? Today, one of the reasons that local churches are dying is because Christians are unwilling to serve. They sit on the sidelines as spectators, and the body suffers because of it. If the church is going to reach its potential, people across this nation need to stop being passengers and wake up to the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. I want to show you a video, Michelle. I loaded it up earlier. Keith, have we got sound for that? It's called "Wash My Feet." Could somebody just do the lights for me? Thank you. So we saw in the video that people were doing lots of good works and doing it in many ways in their own standing, and yet lost sight of why they were doing what they were doing. In fact, it felt like there were bragging rights they were sharing. "Look at me, look what I'm doing." And that Jesus comes and knocks at the door, washes the feet of the disciples. You know, we know Jesus came to serve, not to be served. That sense that what we do, is it out of that place of love for God? Or is it out of that place of self-sufficiency that we operate out of? God sees our motives and our hearts. He sees straight through us, doesn't he? He knows when it comes from the center, the core of our being, when it's rooted in him and when it's not. And I just, you know, we're talking about that value of servanthood. You know, we all know the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So if Jesus asked you this morning, do you love me? What would your answer be? Do you really love me this morning? As a Christian, it's good to be a student of God's word, isn't it? Is it? Yeah, it is. It is. Good. To study the Bible. However, I would like to make a suggestion this morning that it's not about amassing more and more and more knowledge. It's about how we apply that knowledge to our everyday lives. In fact, one of my previous ministers used to say to me, those that want to know more, that want to have more Bible study and learn more, can you ask the question, how are you applying what you learnt last week before you start learning more? There was a quote from Rick Warren that I came across during the week that says this, impression without expression is depression. I'll say that again. Impression without expression is depression. I thought that was quite good, actually. Then, in other words, if we do not put into practice what we are truly reading in the Word of God, we'll end up, as Rick would suggest, depressed, because you're never fulfilled. There's always an emptiness, a void. In the book of James, in chapter 2, he talks about faith and deeds. And in verse 17, he says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I know some of your theologians will be saying, well, Paul says that by faith we are justified. But Paul, as he writes about that, is at the beginning of faith. He's saying it is faith that leads us to that place of justification, that place of being able to accept God's mercy and joy and presence and his forgiveness. James comes after that and says, after you've received faith, there is a natural outpouring of wanting to serve the body of Christ because you cannot help but keep it in. It just comes. It's like an involuntary action. It just happens. And James says, where there is no accompanying action, then is your faith alive? He asks that question. Is it being worked out? Because if it's not being worked out and there isn't that involuntary sort of response to the word of God, then his challenge to us is maybe our faith is dead. Do you remember the image of the potter and the clay from Isaiah? Isaiah 64. That picture of a potter sitting at his wheel, taking an unformed lump of clay that is dry, maybe a bit soggy in places, and yet once he pours water onto that and starts to spin his wheel and starts to mold that lump of unformed clay into something that... Have you ever tried pottery on a wheel? Trying to throw the clay into the middle of the spinning plate is quite tricky. And then trying to... I remember watching it on... not Family Fortunes. I can't remember the name of the program now. Generation Game, that was it. And the clay clay used to go all over the place, trying to control it and keep it central and form something that didn't collapse or fall over. It's quite an art. And yet, God says, I am the master potter. I am the one that's forming you and creating you into a beautiful clay pot that I will use, an earthen vessel, grounded in me, that the world will see the glory that is contained within you. God chooses to use the worthless things that the world would reject, like you and me, and create something that is beautiful. But as an expression of that, God is saying, I want to use you. I want to use you for my glory, to reveal to the world that there is more to life than just consuming. There is a whole bigger purpose at play. You see, that sense as our faith is being worked out, it's like we are releasing praise to God through our actions, through our deeds, through all that we do. God is being glorified because we're doing it as though we're doing it for Him, as I referred to earlier. That sense that all that we seek to do actually isn't for ourselves, but is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, there are a couple of people in our fellowship that, there's lots of people in our fellowship, shall I say, that are busy working and doing and putting faith in action. And that is amazing. And there's somebody that I spoke to last week that really wanted to come and share, but we ran out of time. So I'm going to invite Joe Corney just to come and share a little bit. Is that all right, Joe? I put her on the spot. So,
6 years ago, the community larder in Exmouth was set up. And I felt on that day that that's what God was calling me to do. It was a very strong calling. And I've been actually going to the larder for 6 years, once a week, on and off, really, once a week. And as Simon was saying, we're all called to do something. He's given us a gift. And I just feel that you and I are involved in this gifting because you and I have been helping to help people in Exmouth for 6 years who are destitute. Some of them are destitute. Some of them are in crisis. Some of them have no money. Some of them have no food. And I could tell you lots of instances where it's heartbreaking to see people coming in and crying and saying to us, we don't have any food and we don't want to be here because we're very embarrassed. But I want to say to you, and I want to say thank you today for your giftings, for your opportunities that we give you to give us food so that we can take them to the larder to help people who are struggling. And there are a lot of people in Exmouth who are struggling. Some are homeless, some have a family breakdown, some are sick, mentally sick, and they all need help. So Elaine and I go down there. Elaine's not well at the moment, so you might remember to pray for Elaine that she will recover quickly. So please, will you remember that on a Monday we go down there, and we would like to know that in your box outside there is a tin of baked beans or a tin of rice or a packet of soup or some toiletries. Toilet rolls, that's what people need all the time, toilet rolls. And so if you could put a couple of toilet rolls in, that would be great. Toiletries, shampoo, anything that we use at home would be really gratefully received. So I believe we're all in this together, quite honestly. And, you know, there are people out there who badly need us to help them. So thank you, and thank you for your help in the past and your willingness to do that. Thanks.
So, Joe, It's just one. It's one expression. Hello, that's it. One expression of that faith being worked out. And we're all gifted in some shape or form. We're all unique, and nobody else can fill that function that you do, that you're a part of. And I think that's just the beauty of the way God has called his church to be a body, to work and function. So that not everybody can be a foot and not everybody can be an eye. But we all play our part to enable the whole to work. Our reading this morning from 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11 talks about how we should live for God. In verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then second half of verse 11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That sense that as we are working out our faith, as we are seeking to honor God with all that we are, he is the one that is being praised. I just think it's a real privilege to partner with the King of Kings. I do. I think it's a real privilege to know that God is choosing to work his plans and purposes out through us and in us so that we might be a blessing to others. It blows my mind, really, when I start to think of that. That actually, as we humble ourselves before God, as we say, Lord, here I am, here's little old me. I'm but a grain of sand on the seashore, and yet you're choosing to use little old me to make a difference. Wow. That the King of all creation knows everyone in the world, however many billion people occupy this planet, I didn't look that up, and yet he knows you intimately. He knows that the plan that he has for you tomorrow is perfect. And the day after that, and the day after that. And yet he still gives us that free will to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that, or no, Lord, I choose not to. And that in that working out of God's providence, I suppose, for our lives, is that as we do that, we honor him. Now, there are many ways in which we serve across this fellowship. There are many ways in which people serve. And if you find yourself in a place where you're not being fulfilled or you've not found your niche yet, please come and talk to one of the leadership team so that we might help you in that. So that we might work together, as Paul talked about, the body functioning together. Because when we're not functioning, we're dysfunctional. Is that right? When we're not working together, we are dysfunctional. But I believe we're not here by our own choice, but by God's choosing. We're here because God has called us and drawn us to this place where he wants us to bring that gifting, that ability to serve him in the wider church and in this community. Let's not waste that. Let's be a body of Christ that is fully functioning and fully working. So if you find yourself in that place, please, please come and talk to us so that we might help and pray and stand with you and discern the will of God together with you. We all have a part to play in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how great or small that is, whether it's an upfront or, as we heard earlier, Tricia likes to be behind the scenes. It doesn't matter where it is, as long as we are fulfilling the call of God. Then God is praised and the glory goes to him. And then as a byproduct, blessing falls. Isn't that amazing? It is. It is amazing. It is. because God loves us. As I started, you are unique and special. Only you can do what God's called you to do. Only you can fulfill that call. Nobody else can do it. Only you. That's got to be great, isn't it? Doesn't that make you feel, wow, Lord, thank you. I feel good about this morning because you've chosen to use me. You've chosen me to fulfill that bigger commission that you're calling each of us to. Praise God for his goodness. So let's not be like those people on the video. But let's love Jesus. Let's do it for the right reasons. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that, Lord, you've called us for a purpose. You've called us according to your good pleasure. And we pray, Lord, that all that we seek to do for the kingdom of God would not only build your church, but see your church grow. Father, thank you for the life that you've put within us. Help us to use it wisely. For your glory we ask. Amen.